Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY car fix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
It makes me think that a champion is cooking there.
Oscar Piastri wins the Bahrain Grand Prix for just his fourth win in Formula One.
Four wins now, you know, 13 podiums so early in his career. He's a huge feather in his cap.
It's going to be one hell of a party tonight.
A lock-up from Lando sends him deep.
I think P2 was the best we could have achieved today. It's what we should have achieved. But, yeah, just too many mistakes today.
And he was overdriving the car.
Maybe he doesn't believe he has talent enough to be champion, but he has the talent to do it.
It's going
to
give us a great championship because you've got fire and ice.
George Russell hangs on.
One driver that probably is underrating in this field was for sure Russell last year.
Why are you pointing at me? I've always rated him.
I don't know. Was underrated from my point of view. Second one probably is Gasly.
What I think Hamilton needs is some momentum.
I have this feeling he's not going to be able to match the Leclerc performance over the season.
What a dominant weekend and a huge statement from Oscar Piastri in the championship fight. And what an action-packed race with so many overtakes. Welcome to Sakir for F1 Nation's review of the Bahrain Grand Prix. I'm Tom Clarkson, and joining me in the paddock is 2012 GP2 champion Davide Valsecchi and ESPN's Albert Fabrega. Guys, what a weekend for McLaren. We're sat here in their hospitality area. The rose water is flowing. It's the team's first win, would you believe it, here in Bahrain. Can we just get some initial thoughts on McLaren's weekend? Davide, let's start with you.
Mega weekend for them. Also because Piastri dominated it. I mean, it's difficult to realize how calm he was at the start. He managed it so easily. He pulled away. Safety car can cut your legs. So calm at the restart. He pulled away again. Come on. Nothing was affecting him. So, big shout out to him, to McLaren, because it was by far the best in critical condition of degradation. The car was flying. So, seems that they are much faster when the degradation is high, much faster when there are hot temperature, much faster when you have to manage the tires for a long distance. There are so many key points. The weakness, probably, maybe only the qualifying lap time. Seems that in the race they are much better than the qualify. But anyway, huge step. 2 years ago we were here, they were lost, and now they win.
I love the way that Oscar is managing the situation on a weekend, such a difficult weekend like this one, where, you know, where everyone understands and everyone knows that the McLaren is so fast, is managing better the degradation, better than any other one. But then they have that such a close and very little window where the car performs well. And it's very easy to go out and make mistakes. Things that happened, for example, to Lando Norris yesterday, where he was not capable to achieve that lap on the qualification. But you see that that calm, that security, managing the situation, for me is lovely. And it makes me think that a champion is cooking there.
Well, there's only 3 points between Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri now. Oscar is a cool customer. That's the message I'm getting from both of you, and I would agree. Can we just compare and contrast the weekends that Lando and Oscar have had? If Oscar has been seamless, pole position, wins the race by 15 seconds, what is your interpretation of the weekend that Lando has had, Albert?
for me, was full of mistakes. If you want to lead the team, if you want to lead the championship, if you want to be world champion, because you are right now in a situation where you should think about it. You have a dominant car. You are in a stronger team that is growing, is already on the line of the top teams. You cannot do the mistakes that Lando did today from the start, not being in the box on the start. But then, you know, he did a good start after that, but then during the race.
Just on the topic of the start, I've looked at the replay. He had two stabs at it. So he thought he was too far back. He then selects first gear, goes forward, selects neutral again. You can see him looking to the side, both sides. He then selects first gear, goes forward again, and then that is when he goes out of his box. It was a slightly bizarre series of events, I thought.
I think he's a result of his nervous. If you want to be a champion, the first thing you have to do is to believe you can be a champion and that you are a champion. And I think that Lando needs to believe more in himself. And these messages that he does on the radio or in front of the press when he doesn't achieve the results he wants, it looks to me that is a result of this feeling of himself. And he needs to do that a step. He needs to believe himself more than he does.
Davide, I want to talk to the racing driver in you now. When you heard Lando Norris describe his performances in qualifying when he lined up P6, when you hear him describe it as clueless and like he's never driven a Formula One car before, what does that tell you about where he is?
Yeah, to be honest, when I heard him, I felt, I don't know, I was disappointed. Because also if he is a normal thought for a driver, when you believe in something very much and then you miss the result, the feeling that you have is, come on, how bad it was today? Come on, seems that I never drove this car before. Come on, how is possible that I let myself down so much? So everyone feel this one, but no one says it. And to be honest, I was a bit surprised. It's very hard on myself, but you know, we always keep saying the champion does not this, but no one has the perfect medicine. What is sure, in this condition, I will lie for sure. Say that tomorrow you come back like a lion. Easy stuff. Why the mistake, Lando? No problem, tomorrow we'll be back as a lion. I mean, I don't know. I don't think this one is the way to become a world champion, to be honest, but I really push for him. I mean, I love the attitude that he had today. Seems that, from a racing side, seems that he was struggling a bit with the setup and he was not very comfortable in the driving style. So he was lack a bit of performance in comparison to his teammate, and he was overdriving the car. He was clearly overdriving the car. He was too much on the brake and too quick problem in the entrance in the qualify, throw away the lap time. He was too aggressive at the start, paid off a bit, but then he was too aggressive in one overtake, have to give back the position. He tried so many overtakes, maybe he rushed it too much. He tried on the Russell, and maybe was not the best choice, trying on the outside to a very tough driver as Russell. So I think he overdrove a bit today because he was slightly slower than his teammate. And usually the driver does like this. You are faster than me, I push more and I show you. And sometimes it's wrong. I love the attitude of the attacking mode. Today, many wrong choice on his side in the driving style. In the fight, body to body, he lost many, many, many fights today. And probably was a precious time that give you the chance to end up second. And he ended up only third.
No two human beings are the same. And I would say with Lando that a lot of the press conferences that I host, he is someone who likes to discuss his feelings openly. And I think that helps him move on. And I also think sixth to third, it's not a bad race that he's had
but
today.
Considering his speed today and how quicker than everyone else was Piastri, if you remake the race now with Norris a bit more calm, is going to be easy second. It's for this reason that at the end of the race was disappointed, because he knew that his speed deserved the second place. Russell and Leclerc, probably in the driving style today, deserved to finish ahead of him. That is my feeling, and that's probably was the feeling of Norris after the race.
I think there would be a strong argument to say, I agree with you, Davide, in that he could probably calm down a little bit, couldn't he? The mistakes that we see in qualifying, the mistakes that we saw in the race, is just it's the competitor in him, isn't it? It's the desire to win. But actually, compare it with the other side of the garage, where Oscar, I'm not sure Oscar's heartbeat goes above 50 BPM ever, but it's just ice cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
The contrast between these two guys,
and it makes the thing more difficult to him, I think.
Yeah, and the contrast, that's going to give us a great championship, because you've got fire and ice, haven't you?
Yeah, and when the results don't arrive on Norris' side, and you see the other side of the garage when everything is calm and there's no panic, and you enter in panic because you need to recover positions. I 100% agree with Davide that he was maybe overdriving or trying to overtake whenever he needs patience, to be patient, because he has a quicker car that degrades better the tires. He could manage better the situation and do it in once. He needs to wait. And this situation is a factor that he cannot control yet. He has the speed, he has the rhythm, he has the pace, and he has the talent. Maybe he doesn't believe he has talent enough to be champion, but he has the talent to do it. He needs to put everything right, calm down, and think on the future. And maybe I'm agree with him. He needs someone to calm down and make to digest the situations in a better way. That is not easy, eh? Because we are talking here, but it's not easy. We are talking in a very, very, very top level.
How much of a factor in all of this is Mark Webber, who is managing Oscar Piastri? He's, you know, Mark's been there, done it. He was in the championship fight for a couple of years, particularly back in 2010. He knew what it felt like at Red Bull to get secondhand treatment. Not bad for a number two driver, you know, multi-21, all of those instances. And I feel that Mark is just using all of that experience and just pinpointing where Oscar needs to focus and how to go racing, and that the result is what we're seeing now.
The good value of having Mark there is that Oscar is trusting him a lot for the experience, for the situations, and whenever. But when the movement was done from Alpine to McLaren, and where he is now, that McLaren is building a new car, and a winning car, and the environment is to win championships, just not the constructors. And you believe that having a person next to you that is giving you the path and giving you the confidence, giving you the reasons to improve our driver. And he's growing as a driver. He has only 2 years in Formula One. He's still discovering situations. It's been his fourth win only in Formula One. But the way he's doing the things, it means that the people you have around are clearly setting you the path in a very good way and keeping you calm when the things are not good enough, and pushing you with energy when you need to speed up. Last year, some races where Piastri was lost completely, miles away from Lando Norris, but he didn't lose the papers there. And I'm pretty much sure that a big part of it is what Mark is doing. And
look, we're in McLaren's hospitality area, and Mark Webber happens to be walking past now. Yeah. Mark, he's been so dominant all weekend. This is a statement win from Oscar, isn't it?
Oh, look, I think, you know, 4 wins now, you know, 13 podiums. I think that, you know, so early in his career is, of course, a really huge feather in his cap. As we know, you can have the machinery, but it's often not easy to convert those opportunities. He's converted the 2 poles straight away. So I think that what we're seeing quite early in his career, obviously, is a job well done so far. I just said to him, I said, look, man, that's what happens. All the wins, when you're lucky enough to win a few like he has already, they can be a bit different. And that one was, as I say, the most comfortable one he's had. But there'll be more stressful ones in the future. Tonight, this whole weekend went very smooth for him. And it's a track which, you know, again, was one that needed work, and like Shanghai, and he's won on both of them. So that's another positive.
His one lap pace has been hugely impressive this year, hasn't it? I mean, what was it? It was 24 in Lando's favour last year. I know that the lap time difference between them was incredibly close, but it's now 2-2. It feels like he's stepped up in quali. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's, as a Formula One driver, a big component, of course, of your profession. So it's something that he's not lost on him, that over your journey, you know, when you're up against Max Charles, Lando, Lewis, like these guys in the first few years, like that's, there's some serious artillery there over one lap. And to put it all together, as we know how sensitive it is to execute these cars and these tyres on Saturday. So because of the intelligence of the boy and understanding what he needs to improve, yeah, but like he's, as I said to him, you have the most experience the day you retire. So keep learning.
Great line. Great line from the manager. Mark, many congratulations. Well done. Thank you.
I love the attitude anyway, yeah?
It's the right one.
It's the way to win. It's the way to win. And we spoke with a man that had a huge career in Formula One, and he sat by side a great champion that he won the champion with as a teammate. So, you know, he has also the experience to say, I lost it once, twice, three times to a real Formula One champion as Sebastian Vettel. And so, yeah, it's going to be very, very useful.
Mark is a warrior as well. And I mean that in a sort of military sense, in that he's a fighter. You know what I mean? And I just think having a guy like that in your corner is so motivating. And he's a team player. He just, you know, I can't praise Webber enough, actually, in terms of the influence he's having on Piastri, making all the right calls at the right time. You know, he could be in an Alpine right now. Yep. He's not.
Yeah. Yes,
he's not.
Yes.
He's just one of the... Webber is one of these people who just is able to use his experience, translate it to his advantage, and Piastri is seeing the benefit of it.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom. You realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Davide, do you think Oscar has improved over one lap this year? Do drivers get faster, or is it Oscar just using the car better?
It's the experience that make you faster. We cannot judge the speed of Piastri. He won in three categories before entering Formula One. Masterclass everywhere. So no one is judging his speed. You just need sometimes in Formula One to be quick when it counts. Look at how Russell is improved on a single lap time. I think that the experience give you the chance to improve on the single lap time, because you can adapt the setup to be perfect on the lap, to push only when you need, and you have the experience to set up your car perfectly for you for race and qualify. I have this feeling last year, Norris beat it almost every time Piastri in qualify. This year, Piastri is much closer. And I had that feeling in Japan. In Japan last year, ended up 20 or 22 seconds behind Norris in 2024, Piastri. 22 seconds behind. This year, he was pushing him the last few laps. And they got scared. They said, now we go to Bahrain. He knew the track very well, because the lower category we race here, we had in the winter test, is going to be his weekend. That was my feeling. And at the end, Piastri dominate the weekend. Anyway, if Norris can at least beat Piastri 65% of the quali, he's going to be a world champion. Extremely important for his side, be the quickest guys in the team. It doesn't need to be the smartest, the cleverest. It needs to be the quickest. You need to set pole position, because it makes your life easier.
To show how mentally strong is Piastri, you have to have in mind that
some of the decisions that has been taken from the team in terms of papaya rules on in some races, I think were more on Lando's side rather than Oscar's side. There's no number one, theoretically.
Even in Melbourne this year, when Oscar was told to hold station going through the traffic.
Suzuka. That there were no team orders. But, yeah. I mean, if we have to put in a scale and say, where do you think the team is taking the decisions, thinking more in Oscar or in Lando, I would say, not massively, but I would say the scale is moving on Lando's because of the experience within the team, because of his speed that he's shown. So it's even more difficult to digest for Oscar. And he's managing all this situation in a very, very good manner. So all the driver who should start raising the arm and the boy saying, oh, this is not good for the team. You know, for me, myself, the team is acting in a way that is in favor of my teammate. But he's not doing here. He's just taking his time, waiting for his opportunities that he knows will arrive. But anyway, Lando Norris will hit back. It's not the end, it's just the beginning, only for Grand Prix.
That's a very good point. Lando Norris is an incredibly fast racing driver. I think we're eulogising about Piastri because he has been awesome this weekend. And actually he's been awesome the three previous weekends as well. This has been an incredibly impressive start to the season. What is it? 77 points for Norris, plays 74 points for Piastri. It's going to be a fantastic fight that I think is going to go the distance.
And I agree with you. It's going to be probably, but we are now getting sure of it. It's going to be probably a two-horse race because McLaren, we saw during these four very different races, that is the only team that has been always there. And the one time that he missed the opportunity to win has been in Japan, where Max Verstappen was extraordinary.
Still a lot different type of circuits to come, with high downforce, with low downforce, with slow corners, high-speed corners. We don't know. We have to go to Barcelona and see the new regulations on the front wing, how will affect to any single team here on the grid. But I don't see anyone as solid, as quick, and with the consistency and the speed we have seen on the McLarens right now.
A lot of praise for the job that McLaren are doing this year, but I think we should praise George Russell as well. I mean, incredible performance all year, both over one lap, both in race conditions, and actually here in Bahrain, he had so much going on in that race with the control systems problems, you know, the DRS issue, the brake issue. He had to make the last set of soft tyres, what was it, 24 laps. And yet he showed huge capacity, great mental capacity to be able to cope with all of that.
Agree, 100%. And for me, he's a step up. After Hamilton left the team, I had the doubts to see if George could take that lead of the team, knowing that he will have next to him, or he's having next to him, a rookie. I was curious to know if he could do that step forward that we see sometimes last year next to Lewis, but this year he had to be leading the team, and he had to be the quickest driver and a solid driver with a consistency strong enough to be leading there every single race. And for me, Bahrain was a very important test for Mercedes as well, to know if with a high degradation, with high temperatures, they could keep that speed that we have seen on the first three strange races. But I think they achieved the results, and they're going to be there fighting for the podium in any single race, I have no doubt.
Yeah, and they're now second, quite a convincing second in the Constructors' Championship. They're on merit. A word on Kimi Antonelli. It's fantastic, Davide, that your country has a front-running Formula One driver. It's been a while. He suffered in the Grand Prix today with the strategic problem. You know, he pitted just before the safety car, those sorts of things. So his 11th place wasn't a fair result of what he was capable of, but can you just give us your thoughts on the job he's done this year?
He's done very well. Also because it was difficult, a difficult condition for him. So young, threw immediately in the top team, just after Hamilton, Well done to Toto Wolff. He was right. No mistake at all during the season. Okay, you ask me this question after his worst Formula 1 GP, to be honest, because today he didn't perform so well. I mean, it was a difficult condition, but he was stuck in the traffic and he could not solve the situation like Verstappen did in the last few laps. We have to be honest on it. But anyway, I like how calm he is. I like how he's quick, because his speed is not to underestimate. Yesterday, he was anyway close to Russell, that is doing a mega job. In two out of the four races that we had this year, in the last few laps of the races, he was catching Russell in Japan and in Australia with wet condition. I mean, is there with the performance that is the most difficult things to do? But until now, he's doing very, very well. And I'm happy that Toto Wolff took this huge risk to put a rookie in a Formula 1 top team. So well done to him, well done to Antonelli.
He's good outside the car as well.
He's a great character,
yes.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he? Great interview.
He's coming, eh? He's coming stronger, I guess.
Yeah, he's brilliant in and out of the car. He's witty, he's funny. We've all observed many young drivers coming into the sport. The obvious one was Max Verstappen back in 2015, age 17. Can we compare Antonelli to Verstappen in 15, back in 2015?
I don't know. I don't want to rush too much, because I know that the young driver, when they come in Formula 1, sometimes they have the approach where they crack everything and they look like champions. And then sometimes they have this period where they suffer a bit the situation. So
who are you thinking of when
I don't
you
know,
say
Lawson, by side Tsunoda last year was impressive, the six races that he did. And this year, by side Verstappen was no one. And he risked the place in Formula 1. He lost the places in Red Bull. And now he looks just average in Racing Bull. So I think about Colapinto, after three races on the newspaper, there was written there was the new teammate of Verstappen, and then he crashed everything and he was no one. I mean, this up and down, I don't want to have it with our Italian new star. Keep it cool. He's a young, good driver. I think he'll be the next new thing, but let's leave this place about the next big thing to Piastri, that is closer to reach it, while Antonelli is only a young kid. But yesterday he was quick in quali, and the first part of the race, where he was not in a fantastic position because he lost some places at the start, but he was there with Hamilton, Leclerc, Verstappen, this fantastic driver, and he was not worried at all. I mean, seems comfortable being with the champions. And his fourth race in Formula 1, is 18 years old. From my point of view, quite impressive. But we need to keep it down. Low profile, he can have a bright
future.
But
it's hard to keep the volume down when he's doing what he's doing on track.
And then
when
in he's Italy, can imagine.
Don't forget.
What is Imola going to be like? That's his home race. He's from Bologna. It's going to be huge, isn't it?
It's going to be huge. And it's also better for him, because Ferrari's not performing so well. Because you know, in Italy, the tifosi are strange. We are all for Ferrari. And sometimes in the past, some Italian driver in Imola, they were boo, because they were beating Ferrari in the past. So it's better also for him that Ferrari is average at the moment, so we can have the support of all the Italian fans. Well done to Kim.
But we don't have to forget, he is driving 7 World Championship titles driver. He's sitting in a car who was driven by Lewis Hamilton last year. He's sitting in a car that is a winning car. It's not like Verstappen when he hop in Formula One. He was driving a Toro Rosso, that is a midfield car or midfield team. He is in a winning car, and he's compared directly to Lewis Hamilton, who was driving that car. So I think that there's even more pressure on him. The way he's managing the pressure, not only for the results, because he's a rookie. Yeah, he's done thousands of kilometers and miles with a Formula One car in private test, yes. But one thing is to do a test, and the other thing is to sit down in a winning car.
And then, is racing better now that he's in Formula One than last year in Formula Two?
Agree.
Explain
Agree.
That.
I don't know. I think you can feel the special driver when he has the chance. So, you have a normal driver. One day the car is running well, he's in the top three position, and the special driver, he took the result. Like Verstappen. Verstappen, first time in Red Bull. It was his first race. He got the chance because by luck the two Mercedes crashes. Who was there waiting for the opportunity? Maybe one of the best driver in the history, right? Mm-hmm. Verstappen, he got it. I think now he's racing better, now that he counts more than he was not counting so much. So he's racing better in Formula 1 with a top team than when he was racing mid-package in Formula 2. And it means that he has something special. But we need to keep the low profile, because we saw it's normal from the young kid having the ups and downs. Also Piastri, we realized immediately it was special, no? When he won his first sprint in Qatar, did you remember? Then he had some drop-off in the performance. He was beaten so many times by Norris in quali. So it's normal to have the ups and downs for the young kid. Also, Verstappen needed 3 or 4 years to complete himself. So let him have the time to work hard.
And it was not easy. You remember what happened in Monza last year?
He crashed immediately.
With Antonelli, he crashed. That was...
So, did you remember...
He didn't have impact to him, so it means...
No. Did you remember in Monza? How much it counts, that free practice? At the end, it counted nothing, right? It was already free practice, and he had already a contract signed.
Yes.
Imagine the pressure to drive in Australia, first race of your Formula 1 career, in a top car, bad weather. Everyone is crashing. Also, the champions like Alonso and Mega Driver. And he was flying in the last few laps when he was fifth.
He was flying, yeah.
He was flying. Tell me if it's not something. I can see something special. Let his having a bit of time.
I thought it was very apt that the fireworks started as you were talking about Antonelli. There we go. It must have been a sign. Look, you mentioned Ferrari. Leclerc qualifies P3 here. Was that a breakthrough moment? You know, they brought the floor upgrade. Did you see a better Ferrari this weekend?
Yes, I saw a Ferrari that they don't feel lost. That is good. But I haven't seen a Ferrari quick enough yet to fight with Mercedes and to be closer to McLaren. There's still, they need more to come if they want to win races and they want to be at a level where they can think to win more than a race this season. The step was there, but not sure if enough.
Yeah, probably was there also because Leclerc was special during this weekend. I felt I had this feeling. Sorry, Tom, remember please to me how many times you saw Lewis Hamilton with no technical issue or failure being out-qualified by his teammate on dry by more than half a second.
Yeah, I'm
please tell me.
I can't answer that.
I personally don't remember.
Leclerc has always been very, very good here in Bahrain, though, isn't he? He's got a great record here. First pole position was here, and he bangs those laps in every year. But he does also talk this weekend about going in a slightly different setup direction to Hamilton, and it's almost like he's ploughing his own furrow now. I think for the first few races, Hamilton and him were working together and going in the same direction. Maybe Leclerc is now thinking, that's not working for me. And he's going in a different direction. And that's why we're seeing the gap.
I don't think the technical situation at the moment in Ferrari is so clear. Having the driver that take different direction is not so common in Formula 1, first of all. Having a seven-time world champion suffering so much like in quali this weekend is not so common to have. So I don't think it's so clear the technical situation.
Can I interrupt you? I thought Leclerc was very good in Japan last weekend as well. Okay, the gap between them wasn't as big, but it was. You could see the trajectory. You could see that Leclerc was
agreed.
Getting
but today,
the advantage.
From my point of view, Leclerc deserved it. 100% deserved that podium, but the car was not there enough to give him the chance. It was slightly slower than Russell. He could manage the tires a bit less than Russell. Norris at the end overtook him. So he was close to the result because he was having an extraordinary racing weekend in the driving speed. But then the car was missing a bit of performance. So yes, probably the direction that they took with Leclerc is fine. From my point of view, is not enough, because clearly today you had the driver strong enough to win the racing weekend, and you ended up 18 seconds to the leadership or 15 seconds in 24 laps, and is almost 1 second per lap. And it's too much.
And the strategy was not bad.
Having this type of Leclerc. This weekend was like Monza. I mean, he was in his best shape. He was able to fight for the top. 18 seconds behind is not enough. That is my feeling.
I think that the Hamiltons we have seen, for example, this weekend, I saw him in a very similar situation last year with Mercedes. Sometimes he's not comfortable with the car. I think that he's in a stage of his career where whenever he understands or he smells that a good result is coming, he is capable to perform in a very, very top level. And when he's not feeling comfortable with the car, I think he just steps a little bit, a bit down, just a gear down.
Albert, I think you're talking about one lap, right? I thought he raced well today.
He raced well. He was happy on the radio. Yeah. Not the last three races, but today he raced well. A shame for Ferrari for the strategy and the safety car, because I think they could end the race stronger.
He was there with Leclerc, ended up behind. If you have the standings, I think he ended up, I don't remember how many seconds behind, but you know, he was there with him, and at the end he was 8 seconds behind his teammate in 24 laps. It means 3 tenths per lap. Same condition, same laps to the end. So, at a certain point, was almost in front of him. At a certain point, was beside him, Norris and Leclerc, no, all together. So, it's okay. He raced well, and he also won the driver of the day. I'm sorry, but I saw so many victories and a great race of Hamilton. He was far to be the best version of Lewis Hamilton.
Was Gasly? Was Gasly your choice?
How capable?
We'll come on to our drivers of the day a little bit later. So where does Hamilton go from here? Because the sprint race in China maybe flattered the situation. Do you think he can claw it back? Do you think this is a car that he can get his head around?
I think in certain races, the Ferrari will be very, very competitive.
So what are we thinking? Monaco?
Monaco, because on the slow corners, I think that the Ferrari will perform well. And it's performing well.
Baku?
On the low downforce settings, normally Ferrari has been competitive. We will see Baku and we will see probably Monza.
Okay.
Because they spend more time than anyone else setting on the wind tunnel the low downforce, the very low downforce configuration. So we talk about some Italian matters, and there is a fireworks again.
Barge, to be honest, Tom, I have this worried, I have this feeling. I don't know what you think about it, that you have more experience than me. I have this feeling that he's not going to be able to match the Leclerc performance over the season. That is my feeling. In some of the races will be amazing, because the champions does like this. You feel that maybe it's too old, and then bam, they bang back. But I don't think that is going to match the performance of Leclerc during the season, because I personally think that over 40, maybe you lose that last 1 or 2 tenths in quali. This new generation of drivers is amazing. I'm not saying that they are the best in the history, but I'm saying that if the best in the history has lost 2 tenths by the age or by the mood or by the feeling of the car, it drops down to be behind Leclerc in quali. What? And we have to remember that Leclerc, at the end of the 3 years course, I think, or 2 or 3 years, destroy a bit the career of Sebastian Vettel, our great friend in Italy.
I should raise the hand and say not to Carlos.
Hey, I agree. I think Leclerc is a super fast racing driver. I think Hamilton actually can be as quick as he's always been. There's 40 and then there's 40, right? There's the 40-year-old that I was, and then there's the 40-year-old that Lewis Hamilton is, that Fernando Alonso was. These are guys that have looked after themselves probably a lot better than us, right? And therefore, I don't see any reason why it would tail off. What I think Hamilton needs is some momentum.
Yes.
He hasn't had any momentum for ages. And I think when you go into a new team. What he need, and I think he thought the sprint race in China might just be the jump start he needed to get some momentum. And then I think Lewis, when he's on a roll, is a formidable force.
Yeah.
And think
like back in Silverstone.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. But also, you know, race after race. Think of him in the latter stages of 2021 when he was hounding down Max Verstappen. He's an unstoppable force. And I think that is still in there somewhere, but we don't see it day in, day out, unless the car is there.
We don't have to underestimate the speed of the new generation.
No.
Huh? So take it in mind that from my point of view, the speed that the new generation has is something impressive. Maybe improved by technology, maybe improved by the help of the engineers in the early stage of his career. When he was driving go-karting, there was the telemetry. When Norris and Leclerc did, there was already. Maybe help it about the simulator. But don't underestimate the speed of the new generation, Norris, Piastri, all these guys. They are not yet seven-time world champion, but probably in terms of speed, they are close to the best in the history. I just want to say that if the best in the history lost one or two tenths, there's the risk that one of the new guys in front of him. That is my feeling.
Guys, look, we're all seasoned Formula One people, and I think there is more strength in depth on this grid than there's ever been. Certainly in the 29 years that I've been covering Formula One, I can't think of... Even the guys at the back are really bloody good
and,
now.
And that's good. Eh? And the cost cap made it right, because the team now, they don't need any more money because they are already in profit every single season, and give the chance to the driver to be there by merit and not by money, sponsorship or help. Mm-hmm. And that is the greatest thing in Formula One right now. I love your thought, and probably probably is right. We don't have the base to comparison season by season or ages, different ages. But I would like to say that the speed of these young guys is impressive.
Because the human make the difference right now. I mean, in 1/10, you can be 10, 5, 6 position ahead, 2/10. It moves you to be, or to stay in Q1, to be in Q3. We have seen like 15 cars in 1 second. That's amazing. And that makes that the human factor, the driver factor, because at the end of the day, 1 or 2 tenths is not only the car. It's the driver who puts the tenths, and he put the three sectors in a single lap. So that makes, in reinforce, the driver makes a difference. That's the biggest achievement of the current Formula One. The driver has arisen again as the potential winner of a race, not only the car.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
Look, just a few more topics to run through from what's been a busy Bahrain Grand Prix. Red Bull. Crikey, Red Bull. Max Verstappen, 7 days ago, was peerless. The best performance I've seen him do over a Grand Prix weekend. And then, you know, he comes here, he qualifies 7th, he finishes 6th. The car was...
No miracles.
The car was nowhere this weekend. Whoa. I noticed there was a lot of brake issues. He made a lot of changes to the brakes.
Tsunoda was 9th.
Well, Tsunoda was 9th. So congratulations to Tsunoda for getting his first points in a Red Bull. But this was a reality check for that team, wasn't it?
I think that the car is difficult to drive, that's obviously.
clear after what we have seen this weekend. And to be honest, I was not expecting this from them. I was expecting again Max to be more competitive on Saturday and then in a better situation, a better shape for Sundays. But I think that they need to think a lot about what has happened here.
Everything went wrong also.
Yes.
Three pit stop wrong. They pit stop. They had the last pit stop slow with Verstappen. Was not able to fit the front right, so it was 3 seconds and a half slower. They had this pit stop before the safety car. And after safety car, it was dropped last. Verstappen at a certain point. I mean, everything went wrong, to be honest. And then probably they had Verstappen in average shape. He came back from Japan, that was one of the best driving in the history. And now was just normal this weekend, and probably when it's not making any difference, the car deserves to be 5th and 6th. What do you think?
Tsunoda was closer here.
Yeah.
Does it mean that when the car is not suitable for Verstappen, is a more drivable car for any other driver? Could be. There were the brake problems as well, but I mean it's been a strange weekend.
I think it has been a strange weekend, and when you see the pit stop errors, you do find yourself wondering whether Jonathan Wheatley, who was the sporting director until the end of last year, who's now the new team principal at Sauber. He took so much pride in the pit stops, and for years Red Bull were the benchmark strategically. They were the benchmark in terms of time for pit stops. 1.84, I think, was okay. We're sat at McLaren, and I think they currently hold the record. But Red Bull were banging in 2 second pit stops like it was easy peasy. And I don't know, it could just be a coincidence. But Jonathan, it'd be interesting to talk to Jonathan about it.
Yeah, but the chief mechanic of Red Bull is already in Sauber. They were by far the last team on the pit stops, losing 4 or 5 seconds every single pit stop. And sometimes now we saw them on the top 10 of the pit stops. That makes a difference as well. Yeah. There is a thing yesterday, the mistake that Mercedes did, sent in the cars before they shoot and they get a penalty. You know what? Ron Meadows is not here. Again, the human factor. Make the difference.
It's good. In the car and in the pit garage,
yes.
The human factor.
Yes.
Human factor. Formula One is such a technical and complex sport, but actually it's still the humans calling the shots, isn't it? Guys, look, two more teams very quickly. Alpine get their first points of the season. Incredible performance by Gasly in qualifying and the race, actually. But, you know, to line up P4 surprised me. I mean, let's not forget that last year in Bahrain, Ocon and Gasly were on the back row of the grid. It's an incredible transformation.
Yeah. The car was competitive, eh? We need to say that, because yesterday, Doohan in qualify, he almost crossed the Q3. And so he was close to the top 10. Today, he ran 75% of the race in 9th position, Doohan. So the car was very competitive, but... One driver that probably is underrating in this field was for sure Russell last year. No one was appreciating England that was by side the Lewis Hamilton, the legend, and was beating him.
Why are you pointing at me? I've always rated him.
I don't know. Was underrated from my point of view. Most of it from the English media. That was my feeling. I know that when you have a legend, it's not so easy to find... appreciation in another way that looks a bit more normal, but amazing driver, and this year is showing it. Second one probably is Gasly. Gasly, he was the teammate of Verstappen in the early stage of his career, and he missed that chance, but then so much improved at that point. And remember how he ended up last year. No one crashed during the season, always in the point in the last few races. Come on, that is a master class. If anyone else was doing something like this, it was a legend. No one was speaking about him, only because he's not in a top team. Was something huge. And Gasly, he banged a great result, and I'm very happy for him.
I think Gasly
probably
is...
probably a top 5 driver, probably.
I think Gasly and Russell are natural leaders. I think Russell has stepped up at Mercedes, and I think Gasly is doing the same at Alpine. I think he's relishing not having... Ocon next to him, having a rookie in Doohan next to him has just given him a bit of headspace, a bit of freedom to mould the team around him, and he's just been incredibly impressive on track and off track. Yeah. Takes us back to the human factor.
We don't have to forget that during the pre-season test, Alpine was doing very well here. They left the test being probably the team who was leading the midfield in terms of pace and speed here on the pre-season test. And then they had three races to forget where they didn't score any single point. I don't know how much the new rear wing configurations affect them, because we know that the Renault is not the best engine in the field, if it's not the last. And they need that result here. They need to go back here and see, we have done something wrong in three races, or is because of the races and here in this track we can be competitive. It's going to be tough for them, but I agree with you that Doohan he did perform well this weekend, even not getting points. I think he deserves, after what happened in Japan, to have a good race, and he did it. He didn't score a point, but he did well.
Okay. And what about Haas? That was my last amazing topic, no? I wanted to discuss with you guys. Behrmann goes from 20th on the grid to a points finish. Ocon has that crash at the start of Q2, lines up, what was it, 14th, and strategically they were strong.
Miracles.
I spoke with the team principal in the grid, and they said, but probably the car was difficult, that yesterday Behrmann didn't feel the feeling and it was last.
Truck limits.
And Ocon destroyed the car. And he said, no, Davide, you're wrong. The car was not difficult. Ocon, he was going to have a fantastic qualify. He just had the mistake. You will see today. Oh, after the race, I said, it destroys me. They were confident that today they could achieve something important. In the racing grid, in the grid before the race, incredible, and they were right. We need to take care that the race speed that they have and how they can treat the tires and how they can use the hard while the other they are struggling can be a very key point for their season. And probably they can finish many times in the points and have a lot of satisfaction this season. And then we have to remember the couple of drivers, Behrmann, talent, Ocon, race winner in Formula 1 with a not top team. It's not bad, eh? They can do something important. And the atmosphere in the team, I don't know, from outside it looks amazing.
Yeah, it's a small, dynamic team. And actually, my guest on this week's F1 Beyond the Grid is Esteban Ocon, and he talks about the atmosphere and the culture at Haas. He also talks about his passion for road cars.
They are the Force India of 2020s.
Yes, exactly. Well, guys, the music is starting here in the McLaren hospitality area. I feel that maybe a little bit more than rose water is about to start flowing here, and so it should. What a huge weekend for Lando, for Oscar, for the team.
And for the Formula One.
And for Formula One. Great, great race. Can we just end it the traditional way? I want to ask you both for your driver of the day. Lewis Hamilton got it on the TV. Davide gave us his thoughts on that a little bit earlier. But come on, each of you, who is your driver of the day at the Bahrain Grand Prix 2025?
Pierre Gasly. Not only for the race today, also for the qualifying yesterday with Alpine, second row, P5, but he's done a very good job.
Russell for the day, Piastri for the weekend. But Russell today. I think he placed the car where the car it doesn't belong. So car probably deserved it to be third. He ended up second. So if he speaks about winning, Piastri was not affected by anything. So it was perfect.
Clean air.
Russell, from my point of view, he placed the car better than the car deserved. So I think Russell, it was a masterclass driving. Many drivers had the question mark about they are going to last the tires. And Fred Vasseur told us that they choose hard because they were worried about the soft. And Russell did it. I think it was special. And I have in mind a lot of remarkable race about Russell in the last few years.
The car this year is much better than the last two or 3 years.
Probably.
Much better.
Yeah. I think it's the type of driver that is going to let us enjoying it this year.
For what it's worth, I'm going to throw Ollie Bearman in there, talking specifically about the race. I thought he was tremendous. Absolutely tremendous.
And the start of Bearman was something impressive.
Yeah.
He threw the heart there, and then he tried to catch him. He risked it all, and he was so precise and so good. Impressive. I suggest to all the young driver to go and check the onboard of Bearman at the start. It's something unbelievable.
But also, I think he's very strong mentally.
Good call.
Think of that difficult weekend he had in Melbourne, and then he actually drove quite a good race there, but had a very difficult Friday and Saturday, and then he bounces back in China with a great race. And he had a bad quali yesterday, wasn't happy with the car, wakes up today,
another
new
calm
day.
Driver,
yeah.
Piastri, Antonelli, Bearman,
yeah,
is the driver, the new driver's coming, not us in panic always, us. Yeah. Really, really
well,
different.
Well, my Latino friends, thank you both very, very much.
Pleasure
for coming on the show. Great chat. Really loved debriefing today's race with you both. Davide, thank you. When are we seeing you again?
It's been a pleasure, Tom. In Imola, home race. Easy for me. Easy.
Can you stay at home for that one?
Yeah, for sure. Enjoy the race. Enjoy the podcast. Great job, Tom.
Thank
Always
you.
A pleasure speaking with you. Ciao, Alberto. See you soon.
Thank you. Alberto, you're at every race, so thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Tom. A pleasure always.
And see you in Saudi.
See you in Saudi.
And for more reaction and analysis from Bahrain, please go to F1.com or the official F1 app. And in selected countries, you can watch the highlights on F1 TV. As I mentioned, my guest on F1 Beyond the Grid this week is Esteban Ocon. That will be available from Wednesday. And on F1 Explains, it is a Q&A session with Laura Winter, my deputy team principal in F1 Fantasy here on F1 Nation, and James Hinchliffe as well. They're answering your questions on F1 Explains. We will be back on Thursday with our preview of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. But for now, thank you very much for listening. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
When you need to do more with less, Upwork helps you hire fast without the overhead. Find expert freelancers in design, marketing, IT, AI, and more. Never tried Upwork? Now's the perfect time. Spend your first $1,000 and get $200 in credit for your next project. No upfront costs. No long-term commitments. Just $200 to reinvest in what matters. Go to upwork.com/save to get started. That's upwork.com/save. Upwork.com/save.